Hello and welcome to the 25th episode of the Undermined podcast. This week my guests are two returning ones. The first is Marian Deveca. Hi Marian and welcome back.
Hi, good to be back.
And Mike Rowe, who was just in Korea and will speak of that experience to us. Hey Mike Rowe.
Hello there.
And let's just get into it, because I'm very interested, how did that come and what did you do there? And I think other people are as well. So start from the beginning, please.
Okay, yeah. Well, first of all, I wanted to watch the finals there. I have been watching the stream for the last two seasons, three seasons, and also a couple of seasons from the other tournament there.
What tournament are we speaking about? Sorry.
KSL.
Okay.
So I've been watching the stream for, for three seasons, and they also have this Africa StarCraft League. I've been watching the last two or three seasons too. So yeah, I know I was inspired and wanted to go there and to watch the final. So that was actually the main goal for the trip to Seoul in South Korea.
Did you manage to speak with the players or the organizers, or was just, or that was not a goal at all?
No, not really. I saw the Korean casters just before the show, and over to a cafe just over on the other side of the street, and also I got a selfie with Lava.
Awesome.
Yeah, really, cool. And I posted a picture of it on Discord, so I'm really happy
Lava
about that.
Lava is really a great player.
Yeah.
I think he also has a family already.
Yeah, I think so. So I wanted to go there, and at the same time, I also wanted to experience the South Korean culture and how lives are in general and the history.
Did you go alone or with some like-minded friends or just with family?
No, I went there alone. No, anybody there, any family or else with me. So, all alone.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, and it's awesome that that you did that. I assume that was nothing really happened that relates to Brood War AI there.
Well, nothing except the finals, of course.
And did you manage to spread the word about our scene, even just a little?
Not really. Well, I made the sign for the broadcast, but I didn't manage to bring my sign on the show. I'm on the Discord forum where I made a cheer to the community, and of course promoted my own bot, but it didn't went on the cast, unfortunately.
Yeah, an attempt was made at least.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah. So, well, I can speak about the whole process. Well, I bought the tickets online on a website called Ticketlink, and that was not really a good experience. And I really think that Blizzard should partner for those events, because the website is in English, but when you go to the payment section, the process, it opens like two or three windows on top of your.
And are those in Korean?
No, they are still in English. But you know, it's really bad translations.
Oh,
so you know.
So that's
I didn't manage to actually be able to pay it on any browser on my Mac, which was really weird, because then I went to my got an error code saying that I should contact them, which is, and the error was actually only in Korean, so I didn't really know what was going on. Then I tried to do the payment through Chrome on my Windows computer, and that worked actually the first time. So yeah, I would say that those that are doing that website is they're really. Well, I think Ticketlink is they're using a partner for payment called Payco. The Payco payment module that is really crappy. Yeah, to what else I've experienced, but I managed to get to pay for the tickets eventually.
Well, glad it worked out in the end.
Yeah, and then I went to the show. Like we had to go there, be there at, like, and at that time there almost nobody were there, and people didn't show up until like 5 minutes before the show started. It was almost empty.
So if you are willing to go all the way to Korea to watch a finals, then I assume you would be willing to go to an European Brood Worry AI meetup.
Yeah.
You have no excuses now.
I don't have any excuses to do that, exactly. So we could arrange that somewhere in Europe. I will do that, definitely.
I learned the trendy phase. Let me segue that into my next question. Marianne, would you like to go to an, or would you go to a European meetup if there were any?
Yeah, most likely. Well, why not? Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, because it was mentioned a while ago that something like that could be easily organized. Unfortunately, a lot of developers are from the North American continent, and obviously they probably won't really make it, but I feel there is a critical mass of developers in the European part for this to be a viable thing. And maybe the concentration is the highest in the Netherlands, so somewhere around there would make sense.
Yeah, the Netherlands is in the Central Europe too, so that would make sense also.
Yeah, Europe is not so big, so it does not really matter where, and I'm open to travel.
Yeah, okay, then it's Munich, where I live.
Munich works too if you can do it for the beer festival.
Yeah, there's a ton of people at
the fest.
Yeah, but all joking aside, it would be great, and I'm actually thinking of getting out some feelers about this, but I probably won't organize it myself. So I will, another thing, I will never use the term segueing again because it sounds bullshit, but my next question is, Marianne, to you, what you have been up to lately? I think we talked about the update of your bot since it happened last, but I'm not entirely sure.
I have not been working much on my bot. I don't really have time for that. I have other projects and life stuff going on. But as I said previously, I'm when BW API 5 comes out and the remastered integration, I'm planning to start a new bot with a new architecture, new design kind of in mind. That would be more, that is something I'm interested in to do when the time comes.
So Killer Bot will be deprecated or no longer worked on?
So some parts of the killabot will be reused in the new bot, new architecture, but there are parts of the bot that will be maybe remodeled or something like that. But for example, I need new Terran analyzer, and that's open whether I use something from the existing libraries or implement on top of it something. I'm not sure. I would like to remodel the unit state machines. It's a very big code that are, and the part of the unit behaviors could be shared between the units and could be edited more easily. I have something like that. And overall, the general architecture for the bot that would be more focused on easy to debug, easy to write something like unit tests and stuff like that.
But it sounds like you thought about improvements, and most of that could be decoupled from the actual implementation of the API.
I don't know. There are also some breaking changes planned for the BWF5, one of which is that we will no longer have IDs remembered for the units. And at the moment, some part of my bot kind of relies on this information, which is actually a little bit of cheating, just a little.
Yeah, there will be some breaking changes, unfortunately, but I think we can overcome that quite easily.
Yeah, so I will need a completely new unit manager, and that's it. Basically it what the new bot architecture, the core will be with unit manager and income manager, and then the other stuff could be more modular, maybe, and all free races should be supported. Right now, the code is tailored in a way that only Zerg stuff and Brood War timings and cooldowns and things that need to be adjusted for Zerg race are considered.
I see. And speaking of bot improvements, there are some happenings in the ladder, in the SSCIT ladder. SADA got disabled some time ago, and speculation began about this. And I don't know, do you have any suspicions what's behind that? I don't think it's anything big, but that's just me.
I don't have any clues about why they have disabled the bot, even if they wanted to update it, or maybe they are preparing for the tournaments, and then they hope that they download and test against the current version. I don't know, maybe.
I have no idea. I don't like to speculate when I don't have enough information.
Yeah, let's move on then. Maybe it's just will be uploaded for the next tournament. And this kind of metagaming is a little bit controversial, so to speak, because a lot of voters don't upload their bots just in the last minute, because otherwise other bots can train against it. And what do you think this whole metagaming thing? Is it a bad thing or a good thing or something in between?
Well, I guess that if there are new bots coming into to a tournament, they have advantages that they can download of other opponents and train against them. So that's why I guess maybe a few of the current bot authors, they will disable their bots, so it's impossible to download them at this moment, just tournaments.
So in terms of winning, it's one of the strategies that you can pursue, and it gives you a kind of a big edge over the other bots. But in terms of long-term plans that you would like to have a bot that is adaptable and can handle a lot of situations without your input, so to say, then it will more likely pull you down if you tailor your bot each time for each of the opponents.
Yeah, and then you can implement some counter learning and which tricks into the opponents to think you are doing something else. And I think I saw a fake proxy strategy somewhere, but that's very rare and not worth the effort currently. But I think we will have a smoke and mirrors phase eventually.
Yeah, sure, but in the end, if I would like to just do metagaming and strategies like that, I could do a poker bot or something like that, which is just almost 100% metagaming and strategies like that. But we are playing Brood War, and I think Brood War is, on most levels, it's... more about skill than metagaming. Of course, if you are a very high level skill player or you're a comparable skill level player, then metagaming comes into play much more. But at our level, you can still create a bot that will beat all the other bots like Saita did last year without metagaming.
Yeah, so metagaming. It is definitely present, but I think it is because we have a relatively small number of bots. And for example, Dragon, the new bot by TSC Mu, is sniping the top bots. And I think it's even admitted that it was written with that in mind. And I believe that's okay. Everything you can do to win, everything that is not forbidden is permitted. And it's not like that in other sports, people don't study their opponents and try to come up with counter strategies. And it's Brood War, it's just the same. I believe human players do this as well.
Yeah, of course, it's part of the game, but you can also win by other means. And if you just do metagaming and try to blindly counter other builds and stuff like that. It's not a Brood War anymore. It's more like a poker or something like that. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and metagaming only works if you can execute the basics well. I mean, you have to have that in the first place.
Yeah, but you can still work on your micro or macro or tactics, things like that. And you can get overall maybe better scores versus all of the opponents rather than only the selected few.
All right. And how about versus human gaming? I know that probably, or I'm guessing your bots are probably not built with human opponents in mind. Do you plan to change on that? Do you plan to change that?
Well, not really. Well, what I want to know, what is the difference in case of human and a bot? I guess most of the basic strategies are the same. Or are there any differences that we need to implement? Play better against a human?
Well, humans are better at intuition. A bot will not come up with new strategies, not try stuff just because. Or at least most bots won't. But humans have a much lower attention span, not attention span, but amount of attention, and they just can't pay attention to too many stuff at the same time, while a bot have basically infinite micro. So you can beat a human by just dividing his or her attention into enough pieces, I believe.
Well, I don't have any intention to actually add any human specific behaviors at the moment. Maybe add a few strategies that would be better to use against. And at this point, I don't have any ideas for that.
So I think some human players will actually look to train versus bot, and they will like the bot to play the same strategy over and over again. That's how human players train. So this is maybe something that the bots would be good to be configurable for specific strategies, because right now they only have these build order training mechanisms and or randomized build orders. But maybe a human would like to specifically train, I don't know, marines versus I don't know, mutalisks, or tanks versus versus dragoons, something like that. So you would like the opponent to always play the same way, so you can basically drill the strategy. I think this is what human players would like to look in the, maybe not all, but those who would like to get increase their competitive level.
Yeah, the bots are good at executing the same strategies over and over. But I haven't. I don't know if any of the bots are actually playing like a human. Close to a human, at least.
No, maybe not. But at least if they can execute some build order very precisely until some point. For example, if you are very low level, I don't know, Terran player, you might have problem getting your expansion up. So you would like maybe your opponent just attack you with dragoons 10 games in a row, so you can basically master this skill of sieging up or mining up and or building a bunker, things like that. And then when you have trained this skill, maybe you would like to move on, and then you would like to maybe train versus Dark Templar rushes or stuff like that. And this is, I think, where the bots would be very valuable for the competitive players to basically drill against specific strategies.
This is exactly one of the incentives behind the Snail project, which was Bladder previously, but I ask you to forget that horrible name, to provide training for humans. And basically something better than the built-in AI to practice strategies.
Yeah, as a competitive player, even myself, when I used to play competitively, you spend a lot of time in a single player. It doesn't really matter if even if the computer is bad, you would just drill the build orders. You would do that quite a lot just to get it into your muscles and into your subconscious, so that you will execute the build orders automatically, and then you have your brain has more time focusing on the tactics, strategies, and micro and whatnot. But this is what will be on when you can tell your opponent to basically play exactly what you want him to play.
I fully understand that that bots can execute the same strategies, and that players can practice against those strategies. Are you aware of any of players that have suggestions to the range of strategies that they want to have or to support? Could have a range of strategies that the bot will use for when it's playing against humans, and then other strategies when it's playing against the bot.
I don't know. I think maybe Crazy has some anti-human strategies, but other than that, I don't know. I should interview more bot authors about this.
No, it was more the players, which strategies they want, which range of strategies they want the bots to support so they can play against them.
I think that's a million of different ones, so you can't really plan for that. Just make some bots that can do some amount of them, and then the rest will be somehow.
More that the mine included, but many bots have their own like customized build that's not really standard build order. PJ.
The bots that will be or would be used for training will be custom built, I believe. It most players won't use the current SSCIT bot pool for training. Because they are not bad for that purpose, I believe. They are at a good level now, but they are tailored to bot versus bot matches. And as we saw in some of the human versus bot matches, some bots can be easily countered with simple, stupid strategies, or led into the traps, or have other obvious flaws that humans can spot easily. But I expect that to change.
So it may not be a problem that, for example, not all the bots can defend a perfect, I don't know, four pool or some kind of heavy marine rush or purchases like that. It depends on what the player wants. If the player just wants to drill a strategy, then he will not abuse, for example, this kind of strategy. He will just lead the bot to play a certain way, and he will play a certain way himself, not abusing the those weak points. But on the other hand, we can have some players who want to play an interesting, battle of seven match versus a bot, and there it would be more important to pick up these kind of weaknesses.
Speaking of incentives, as I'm building the human versus bot ladder, I was thinking a lot about what motivates bot authors. And you might remember that I asked this question a few times on the podcast. I'm always curious, how do you came upon this scene, and what keeps you going, or what would you like to do? And first, I identified a few key areas, and I will go over them, and I'm wondering if you agree or disagree with that. I think the first reason to have this is some kind of reputation. It is in a most general sense imaginable. Like, it's cool that you say that I do this. This is a very unique thing which I do, and I can show this in certain circles and have some good feelings about myself. It sounds stupid, but you know what I mean. How much do you agree with that, or how much of that is true for you?
For me, that is in the beginning, that was not really the case for me. In the beginning, for me, it was more like an interesting way of using my skills as a programmer, and also going into the AI area of programming. And also, of course, getting to know more about brute force, because in the beginning, I really didn't know any of the standard strategies, but I quickly got to know most strategies as I was reading the Wikipedia strategies. But since microwave is in the upper part of the basal ladder, To update my bot, because I would be worrying about that he will have a bug or play worse than before. So that's why it sometimes takes longer to make updates, because I want to make sure that everything is working, and even hopefully even better.
So I don't know what kind of reputation getting me in the community is not that big that someone would really know you or something like that. I think most people are driven by something like they want to see the bot in action. I wanted to model something with an interesting design and architecture, and also I had passion for the game. And since I quit playing competitive Brood War a decade ago, I could put those skills into the bot. Yeah, something like that.
I can see that, and a lot of people are like that, because being competitive requires you to be on edge all the times, and that's hard to do when you're working and maybe have a family and everything. But if you code a bot, it will perform the same level forever. And that's actually my second point in the incentives, which is competing and winning. And I think a lot of people are doing this for the feeling of, oh, I have the best bot, or I have a top bot, and that is great. That is basically, that's why it's a StarCraft AI tournament and not just StarCraft AI happy fun times.
Yeah, of course, part of it is actually having a bot that is on in the top of the ladder. That's also, of course, something that we push authors to. Of course, but it was not really. It was not really something that I was pushing for. That I would work on a bot and have it be the best bot.
Yeah, when I started, it's kind of a long time ago, 2012 or something like that. Back then, when I looked at the bot ladder, I thought the bots were pretty bad. So my aim was to beat all the bots, because I thought they played ridiculously. Or they had some interesting attributes, of course, but the general play was D-minus kind of low play. But nowadays, when I see the bots, they play pretty solid average human level play, or above the best bots play above average human level play, with of course the kind of holes where you can abuse them. Most have them, but a part of them, they play really solid macro, solid build orders, have micro to back it up. The decision making, that was always the hardest part, and that is something that is really difficult to solve. And but I'm quite happy where we have moved since when I started development.
And I can't really add anything anything to that. My next point on the list is academic research or recognition, and we saw quite a few StarCraft papers already, but that's more of a transitive thing, I believe. Like, there are some papers that, okay, I did something with StarCraft, then I moved on. And with some notable exceptions, usually academic projects don't develop into bots that stay on the ladder for years.
Yeah, the student StarCraft ladder was originally pointed for that kind of authors and bots that's making projects and making a paper for that, and didn't touch the bot for Stive.
And the last is, of course, the sharpening of your skills, which Micro, you already kind of mentioned. It is a great way to learn about programming and just have the joy of coding. And it's a perfect side project for many people, especially if you want to do something with AI in the future. That being said, just wrestling with the Brood War API and implementing strategies without any kind of advanced AI concepts will take a lot of time.
Yes, yeah. We see that a lot, that we have new authors coming to Discord and asking a lot of questions, and really people here are really helpful because the Brood War API is really in many ways and not really straightforward. Something that is the goal for many of the new authors, that they want to improve their programming skills, especially also the AI programming skills. That's what we see a lot on the Discord forum.
So I experienced that myself. I used some of the stuff I learned during coding my own bot that I could use in my day job.
Yeah, I'm not fortunate enough to do that. I don't have I don't program C++ in my day job. It's more web programming, so that's not really anything that can be used in that area. And also do databases programming. It's only for the hobby.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. But now that you mention it, the human versus bot ladder project could use a web programmer. This is me guilt tripping you. Okay, next topic is academic research and. I don't know how many academic papers about StarCraft did you read, and did you utilize any of them? I read a few and kind of used some concepts, but I feel most of the cases they are too abstract or too narrow to actually be able to actually use them verbatim.
Yes, I have read a few papers too that was linked in Discord, and I agree with you. Many of those papers are really too abstract for me to really to be used for me to be able to do anything, and also are not really skilled in the AI area or that's. In any kind, so that I can use it for in my bots at all.
Yeah, I agree. Usually, I just maybe watch some YouTube video or something with where is a pseudo algorithm of some kind, because I can't really read the formal mathematical. Writings. I never really liked to read that, and I abandoned. And after I finished my school, so I don't really consider myself an academic anymore. I'm more practical programmer. When I see something and I think I like to think of problems, how would I solve it by myself? I'm not really the kind of person that would read hundreds of papers. I'm more like explore on my own and then see what's out there, what other people
do. I have the same feeling. All those mathematical formulas are really hard to understand, also because I'm not really experienced in that area at all. my education is not theoretical at all. I'm more in the practical.
And same question, did you get any kind of inspiration from stuff like military tactics or books about strategy you read or something unexpected? Because I just did, and one of my hobbies is reading about military history, and very few applies to StarCraft, of course, because that's a very abstract game, and real life conflicts are a little bit more complex, but still I got some inspiration and motivation from it.
Tactics like flanking and your units or that your opponent's units go somewhere else and your units go somewhere else is like, well, standard military tactics. That's not that I have actually tried to implement anything of that.
I don't know if I did something from books, maybe. But I have played strategy games, whether it's real-time strategy games or turn-based strategy games, since I was a teenager. So I have a lot of experience. So it's all just putting that into the code, and that's sometimes easier, sometimes not so easy.
Yeah, inspiration can come from the most unlikely of places.
But yeah, I think it's it could be a good inspiration to read military tactics if you really want to do something like that.
All right, that's all the topics I planned for today. Do you have any?
Yeah, well, I can tell a bit about the StarCraft event that I watched in Seoul.
Oh yeah, sure.
The first match was actually a show match between two of the Korean commentators. And remember the names? I think it was the Marine and Ace or something. Protoss vs Zerg. And it looked very weird because it was actually a show match showing off the new StarCraft skin that have done to remastered, and everybody in the crowd and was cheering after the first few screens of the game. It was really a fun match because they were commentating. That we're playing, not that I understood at anything of what they're saying. They tried to put in all the different units of the game, or how the different units look like in this new skin. That was really a fun game. Fun, and all the in the audience were having fun. They really.
Yeah, I really did not.
And then just. Then just after the game, the Blizzard crew went onto the stage and did the new skin. Not that they actually did say anything new, they still went onto the scene and presented the new skin. I can't remember when, they will find out.
I think somewhere beginning of next month or something like that. It actually was made by the Carbot. He makes a really good videos. He has this channel full of parody videos for StarCraft, StarCraft 1, lately even Diablo. The Diablo ones were really, really great. You should go watch that. He also does Heroes of the Storm. And he did this kind of cartoon skin for StarCraft 2. Before, and I did not expect this, and now we see that he also did it for StarCraft 1. I think this StarCraft 1 skin is even better than the StarCraft 2. Really talented guy, yeah, really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a really cool skin, and especially the Zerg, all the most of the units look like some kind of birds of different kinds.
That's funny.
Yeah, and the Zerglings, they just look like the small, very small gray birds you have. It's really funny skin if you are. Yeah. I think I will buy it just to support Blizzard.
That's a noble goal.
Then after this show match, the two Rain and Mini went onto the stage and were playing the matches. The matches were really there was nothing really shocking going on in the matches, as I remember. I remember they were not really long games, really. But you wouldn't expect that when it's a PvP. As also when it's a CVC, but in all, I think it was Rain was really dominating the match. After all, I think there was one or two matches that were longer than the other two's. One of them Mini won, and the other one Rain won of the long games. It was a really great experience too. It's my first time being to a e-game arena for something like this. I'll definitely do that again. Maybe not in South Korea, but maybe a StarCraft 2 tournament somewhere else.
I was once in Katowice for a StarCraft 2 event. It was kind of okay, but I would prefer actually going to Korea for a Brood War event.
Yeah, Katowice is also nearby, and it's also quite near to Denmark, so I might go there sometime.
With that, let's wrap up the cast. Thank you very much for being here. The audio quality could have been better. I will investigate the issues, but it was an enjoyable cast, so thanks again and see you next time.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.